Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in His name. Thanks be to God who always causes us to win. Yeah.
Made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters all over the land. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, hallelujah, November the 6th, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am blessed to be joined by my very anointed Spirit Alive family and servant leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Gladys McGee, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Tina Brown, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and our most supportive listener of all times, Brother Marty Nichols. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. And we really pray that you will hear something that will bless your spirit and just uplift your very soul. So right now, we're going to go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, just lifting up in praise and worship. We're so thankful that you've given us another day. You've blessed us to be able to praise and worship together as the Spirit of Life family, Heavenly Father. We lift up the messenger that's delivering the message today. We pray that everyone that is listening today will receive something from this message and will want to draw them closer to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you again for this beautiful day. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody working real hard.
Yeah.
From Wall Street to the small town barber, everybody in a dark place.
Yeah.
Crying tears like a river run. No umbrella and you're caught in the rain. Running low on faith, can I get an amen? This is for when life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your anthem. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up, up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up, up. Keep your head high, keep on fighting, cause the pressure makes it die. The doomsday news cycle spinning with all the negativity.
Yeah.
Don't forget you can shut it off. Try to catch your mind when it runs. Easier said than done. Can I get an amen? This is where life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your answer. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every week we are blessed to have the mother of this assembly. And I am blessed to have her as my biological mother. We have Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, who comes and reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. And if you have never heard her read, hallelujah, I am sure that you are going to enjoy this morning's reading. So please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And I praise God for being able to be here and having the voice to speak. This morning, our meditational reading is entitled, Use Your Double Portion of Speaking Power, coming from 1 Peter 2 and 9. And it reads in part, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Excuse me. God calls us a royal priesthood. This means that we are kings as well as priests under the king priesthood of Jesus Christ. This has never happened before in the history of God's people. In the Old Testament, kings and priests were two distinct groups of people. You were either a king or priest, but not both at the same time. Today, because we are in Christ, we are king priests, a royal priesthood. This means that we have a double portion of speaking power because as kings, where the word of a king is, there is power. You can read more about that in Ecclesiastes 8 and 4. And as priests, by their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. Deuteronomy 21 and 5 will tell you more about that. So if you are a Christian businessman, you will have an edge over worldly businessmen. When you say about your business deals will come to pass, what you say about them will come to pass. And if you are falsely accused, know that by your very word, every controversy and every assault will be settled. And as a king priest parent, when you bless your children, your words have the power to set in motion supernatural events which will bring them into God's prosperous abundance and superabounding grace. And there will be such a courage and resilience about them that it will empower them to win the fights of life. When the devil comes to you and says that you will die young because your father and grandfather died young, or that you will never be successful because you are not well educated, you must remember that the devil is neither a king nor a priest. There is no power in his words, but there is power in yours because you are a king priest in Christ. Instead of agreeing with him, believe and declare, I will not die young. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Say, the Lord will make my way prosperous and give me good success. Use your double portion of speaking power and see these blessings come to pass. Glory to God. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, you have a double portion of speaking power because you are a king as well as a priest in Christ Jesus. Amen.
ever find yourself in a place that you don't know what to say. Things I depended on were gone. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. I used to want to understand your plan. Now all I want to see is your hand. My heart is open so wide, even though there's so much pain inside. As I'm on this journey, I need you to
help me,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together, hallelujah, on one accord, standing in the gap for our brothers and our sisters all over the world. We stand together petitioning God for his help. We stand together intercessing on the behalf of others. We stand together praising God for being our mighty God and our heavenly Father. And we thank him for our son, Jesus. And when we pray expecting, trusting, and believing that he will do exactly what he says he will do. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you clear your heads, you bow your hearts, and you stand in agreement with the anointed woman of God, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. We're going to go to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for who you are this morning, praising your holy name, thanking you for watching over us and keeping us in your care. Thank you for your hand of protection upon us. We thank you for your leading and your guiding. We thank you. We thank you for every petition we have asked for, hallelujah, and was granted to us. We thank you for answered prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that we have, all that you have given us. And we just thank you and praise you for blessing us, hallelujah, to do the work that you have set before us. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead and guide us in the things that you would have us to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch lives everywhere. We thank you for life this morning because it came through by you, and we thank you for it. We thank you. Well, we know that many have lost their lives, and we lift up those that are suffering and grieving this morning over the loss of their loved ones. We pray for them, Lord, that you would, we pray that you would strengthen them in the name of Jesus, that you would help them through this grief process. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus and those war-torn victims, we ask, Lord, that you would touch in a mighty way.
Yes,
we thank you for what you have already done in the behalf of some of them, Lord, but we pray even the more today for those, Lord, that are yet lost, those that don't know you. We pray that there will be a harvest in these areas in the name of Jesus, that somebody will tell them about Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, that they can really know who you are, and they will know that they have hope in you, Christ Jesus, even in their situation and their circumstances now. We know that you are more than able. So we pray for them, Lord, that they will turn towards you in their situations, in their circumstances, and in their suffering. That they will still know that there is a God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those, Lord, that have been abused and are continuing to be abused. We pray, Lord, that they will be freed of this mistreatment in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the predators that have been taken off the streets. We thank you that they, at least those ones can no longer continue to abuse your people, your children. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless in these areas. We pray, Lord, that you will help them, those that are in abusive situations with children and even those that are not. We pray, Lord, that you will make a way for their escape in the name of Jesus. We thank you for how you have moved traffickers off the streets.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we're hearing, Lord, that you're freeing many of those that have been held bondage.
Yes, Lord. Thank
you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for their freedom. But, Lord, we pray that someone will minister to their needs in the name of Jesus, that they will be able to come out of the traumatic situations that they are in right now. In the name of Jesus, that they will find relief in Jesus' name and that they will seek salvation. And we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do.
Yeah.
We pray for those that are yet in prison and jails and juvenile halls. We pray, Lord, that you will go to them, that you would minister to them today, that they will be able to come to repentance and accept
Lord,
you and submit
Jesus.
To you in the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, Lord. The unsaved all across the nation.
Oh, yes.
Our loved ones, those in our communities and our cities and on. We just pray, Lord, for those that don't yet know about you, those that don't have a relationship with you. Some do know about you, but that's all. So we ask, Lord, that they will have a relationship with you, Lord, in the pardoning of their sins. In Jesus' holy and righteous name.
Yes.
Oh, God. And then we lift up the political situation, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Only you, God, can step in and straighten out situations. We pray that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that leaders will be appointed that know you, that serve you, that care about your people, and that they would care about a better country in the name of Jesus, a better nation. In the name of Jesus, and we just
Lord.
Praise you for it.
Lord,
we thank and praise you. We pray, Lord, for those that are in need of a healing today. We ask, Lord, that you would move physically, mentally,
Lord.
Emotionally,
spiritually,
Jesus.
And
thank
financially.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord,
with your
God.
Healing power. In the name of Jesus, that your people
Lord.
Will be blessed, that they will be healed. In Jesus' name, we pray for the miracles to come forth in the mighty
Lord.
Name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, you know who stands in need of a miracle today. We pray, Lord, that you would move
in Jesus'
name, in the mighty name of Jesus, and that they would know that only you could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' holy, righteous name. And Father God, we lift up those that are in the hospitals and all of the health organizations. We ask, Lord, that you would move in
Lord.
A mighty way. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will move in your nurses and doctors and healthcare workers, Lord, that know you.
Yes.
That they may reach some of those, Lord.
Yes,
that don't
Lord.
Know.
Yes, Jesus.
Be with them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, those that are dying, we pray, Lord, for them because it's not too late. We ask, Lord, that you will move in those situations, especially in the elderly that have lived lives and have not served you or not have accepted you, Lord. We pray that somehow they will be told about you and acceptance will come. And then in the name of Jesus.
Oh, God.
And if there's any sick among us today or in need of a miracle, we pray, Lord, that you will perform in the name of Jesus in a supernatural way, God.
Yes,
because we know that that's the only way that you move.
Yes.
And we thank you. We trust you. We believe you. We have faith in you. And we know that whatever we ask in your name, you will do it. And so we're expecting. We lift up the Spirit of Life Ministries and all of the other ministries and churches, Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
That are our part.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would move in Jesus' name. You know what each one stands in need of today. We pray that you would grant it in the name of Jesus. We lift up Apostle Shirlene Cook, asking, Lord, that you would continue to bless her, strengthen her, use her for your glory.
Hallelujah.
And you would each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, it's all about your glory.
Hallelujah. Glory, Lord.
And we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Help us to do your will in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We praise you and thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
This song is to remind you of the winner within. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you heard, you are a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last. You are a conqueror, a conqueror, a conqueror.
I have
over the enemy.
Over the enemy.
No weapon formed against me
shall prosper against me.
Ah, greater is he.
Greater is he
that is within me.
I am.
you, Jesus. Sounds like conqueror music to me.
Thank you. We are Glory conquerors indeed. It is now time for this morning's message. So my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles. And we will be going to the book of Acts chapter 14. And today we will be looking at verses 1 through 18. Yes, we are still on our transformational journey through the book of Acts so we can become more like the church in Acts. Hallelujah. That's Acts chapter 14. We will be looking at verses 1 through 18. If you are listening via your computers, you can go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 18, and I will be reading from the King James Version. Amen. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews and so spake, that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time before abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, there were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. When the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sir, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Most gracious Heavenly Father, first and foremost, I come into your throne of grace, giving honor to you and to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to your people, Lord God. And I just pray that, Lord God, right now you step into this body of clay and you diminish me completely so that you may have your complete and perfect way. I pray that you use this message, Father God, to edify the saints and to draw the lost so that we may all live a more abundant life in you. It is in your holy and precious name, Jesus, I do pray it all. Amen and amen.
Amen.
My message for today is entitled, "We Have Overcome," because today I'm going to talk about how to overcome some of these obstacles that we might have to sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that most Christians believe they should share the good news about Jesus with the lost. And I would suppose that most, if not everyone, that is within the sound of my voice, has at least some desire to do that. However, most of us recognize that it doesn't always come easy. Sometimes talking to people about God seems to be one of the most difficult things that we need to do. Now, most of us can only dream of seeing something like what happened in Acts 14 and 1 come true in our own lives. But wouldn't that be awesome, though? I don't know about you, but I know that I want to speak so effectively about Jesus that large numbers of people would not only believe, but they would become true followers of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous experience that would be. But most of us have never been there nor done that. In fact, most of us have faced what seems like traumatic obstacles when we have tried to share our faith. We have sometimes faced difficult attitudes, apathy, anger, disgust, disinterest, and rejection. And that can be in and out of the church. We may have faced arguments, in ignorance, frustration, confusion, and deception. And that occurs in and out of the church.
Amen.
So how in the world can we share our faith in a meeting for way and love with all these barriers to overcome? Mm-hmm. Now, saints, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have the answers today. But I do believe that our text for today speaks about this very issue. Because with God's help, we can learn to naturally and effectively share his love with others. And we won't give up because we have the ability to climb any mountain and face any adversity when we have the Holy Spirit of the Most High God living in us and speaking and working through us.
Amen.
We don't ever have to worry when we can stand solely on God's holy word. So there may be someone here today asking, well, where do I begin? And how can I learn to do this? Well, today I'm going to share with us all four important tools from the text that will help us to overcome some of these barriers to sharing the good news. First and foremost, Acts 14, 1 through 3 lets us know that we can never underestimate the power of the spoken word. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue, and there they spoke so effectively that great numbers of Jews and Gentiles believed.
Yes.
But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brethren. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. One of the most important tools God has given us to help us do what he wants is his holy word. But now you and I both know that words alone are not worth very much. You know, we have politicians that use a lot of words, as do lawyers. And lest I be guilty of demeaning other professions, let me just say that there are even preachers that don't accomplish much with their words alone. So when we talk about the power of the spoken word, we know that words alone do have the power to change. We do not have the power to change lives for eternity. They don't. The words in and of themselves don't. The Apostle Paul told the church in Thessalonica, when he brought you to the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what he said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you, hear me now, that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of the message. So you see, words alone is not enough. Words alone can't convey the good news. But when we share the word of God containing the good news about Jesus, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Those words become alive. Those words.
Yeah.
Have the power to raise. Those words have the power to heal. Those words have the power to save and rescue and redeem.
A living word. Thank you, Jesus.
Because it is a living word. Amen, Mother Mitchell.
Yes, it is.
And that's how it worked for the early church, y'all. And that's how God still works today. Furthermore, we see from this verse that the way we live is also a part of our message. Okay? If we tell people about God's love, do they see that love in our lives? If we tell people about forgiveness, do they see us giving and receiving a forgiveness? You see, the power of the spoken word can dispel ignorance about who God is and how much he loves each and every one of us. The spoken word, carried by the power of the Holy Spirit and backed up by a life of obedience to God, can effectively change this world one person at a time.
Preach.
We often emphasize how important it is for our walk to match our talk. We talk about being a witness to people by the way that we live. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I also do have a problem with something when I hear people say that. Sometimes when we talk about letting our lives do the witnessing for us, what we really mean is that we don't really plan on using our words all that much. Well, they should be able to see the Jesus in me. I shouldn't have to run around talking about Jesus. Well, let me tell you something, my binary thinking friend. That only leaves one possibility. Either we share the gospel with words or we share it by the way we live. As I'm sure we all can see, the five blind boys from Mississippi can see, that is simply not true. Jesus said we must do both. He said, let your light so shine so that people can look at your lives and know how awesome your Father in heaven is. But also he said, go and teach and preach and talk about Jesus and all that he taught us. Look at it this way. Truth can be explained and truth can be illustrated. So every chance we get, we need to explain the truth to somebody, but as we do, we need to be sure that we are also illustrating that truth by the way we ourselves are living. You see, the word of God is essential in overcoming barriers of ignorance. Trust me.
Amen.
Many people do not know the goodness of God. They do not acknowledge him, Bishop Carver, as the being the Almighty Father that provides everything that we need and we want. And out of that love, out of that gratitude, hallelujah, will we truly do what he says when he says.
Yeah.
See, they don't know that he means them no harm. They don't know that he wants so much good for them that they can't even contain it all.
Yeah.
As Apostle Zeta said this morning, God wants each of us to live in close relationship with him, learning to love the way he loves and live according to his good plan for us. We can let people know that God loves them and wants to help them by the power of the spoken word and through a lifestyle of living out that word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Secondly, let's look at another thing that will help us to share the gospel. We cannot underestimate the power of presence. First of all, never underestimate the power of God's presence in you. Oh, who am I? I can't tell people about the Lord. I'm too young. Oh, I used to be on fire for Jesus, but I've grown older now, so I don't get out and do that like I used to. Who are you to underestimate the presence of the power of God in your life?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. And furthermore, don't underestimate your presence in the lives of others. Who is look, what hallelujah, Holy Ghost filled Christian does not know that nobody hangs out with Jesus and remains the same?
Amen.
Well, if people say Jesus is the logo, Jesus is the word of God. So if we are speaking the word of God and we are living the word of God, then we don't need to underestimate the power of the presence of God and our presence one to another. Well, look at this in verse 2. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly to the Lord. Now, as I read this verse, I wondered, what if these Jews had not come and stirred up trouble? Would Paul and Barnabas have stayed around as long, or would they have finished up with Iconium sooner and gone on down the road to Lystra? Well, I don't know. But verse 3 seems
Thank
to indicate
God,
that, that more time was needed because of the opposition. You see, as a result of the negative influence the Jews had on the Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas did not say, uh-oh, the wind is turned. We better pack up our stuff and go. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no,
no. No,
see, you can never underestimate the power of presence. Sometimes us just being there for somebody does more for them than any words that we could ever say. However, let's avoid all that binary thinking, thanks to God. And realize that when we combine being there for someone and talking boldly with them about Jesus and how awesome he is, then and only then do we have a powerful combination. How important is it that we spend considerable time with those we are trying to reach? Well, let me just say that it could make an eternal difference in their lives, you know?
Yes, it can.
So how much time are you willing to invest in those that you are trying to reach?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a young man, he had been working in the inner city with a program to keep kids in school and away from the gangs and the gangster lifestyle. And he did everything that he could think of to show those kids what a dead end, you know, what a dead end life, gang life was. And over the years, he saw kid after kid drop out of school and join local gangs. One day, he got a chance to meet one of the highest gang leaders, and he had a few minutes with him, and so he asked, "What's your secret?" He said, "How are you able to recruit these kids who have so much going for them, who have so much potential? Some of these kids could easily go to college on scholarships and make something of themselves." The gang leader's answer surprised him. He said, "Hey, I'm here for them. When they need a new pair of shoes, I'm here for them. When they're out of food and don't know where to turn, I'm here for them. I'm one of the few things they can count on in their world. That is why they want to join my gang." Wow. So, what are we doing that for the people that we're trying to reach? Are we being the someone they can count on when things go bad? Are we someone they can talk to receive help from? Are we willing to enter into their world, their turf, their hood, their life, to speak life to them? Paul and Barnabas gave the people that Iconium the present of their presence. They were willing to take the time to teach about Jesus. And the whole while they were teaching and praying, they were living a life, hallelujah, that demonstrated that not only that they believed what they taught and they expected what they prayed. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
See, just being there for someone may be the best way to overcome deception. You know how I know? Sometimes if someone is poisoning somebody's mind against God and against the good news about Jesus, we may not need to spend a considerable time in their world. You know what I'm saying? We might just need to go to their house and spend considerable time with them. We might need to come up on them one-on-one in a place where they feel safe and begin to minister to them about the goodness of God and tell them how much God truly loves them just the way that they are. But he wants them to come to him and to allow him to clean them up, to fix them up, give them a redo, a restart.
Amen.
See, because I'm here to tell you, saints of God, the reason a lot of people are remaining in the gangs and remaining in the world is because they've been poisoned by the people in the church. They've been poisoned with hypocrisy. They've been poisoned with double standards. They've been poisoned with the lack of time.
Preach it, girl. Preach.
They've been poisoned.
Yeah.
And you know, when we see them, we, instead of looking at them with love and compassion, many of us will look at them with disgust and disdain and step over their feet, talking about, we're going to the missionary brunching. We're going to the pastor's breakfast.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. You can't reach anybody until they know that they are loved and accepted for who they are. And then you come along beside them, and instead of criticizing them for every little thing, instead of beating them up for every little thing, Bishop Carver, we're going to give them room to grow.
Yeah.
We're just going to stand and deliver the good news about Jesus all the more. See, we need to be a relationship-minded people. We always, God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship. Well, you know what? God wants us to have a relationship with each other, too.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to associate with those who see life differently than we do.
Amen.
Just like Jesus did when he went and had supper in the house of the tax collector. And beloved, let me tell you something. That meeting right there represented all of the worst of the worst in the world. You see what I'm saying? All the idol worshipers were there. Hallelujah. The prostitutes was there. The money changers was there. But Jesus went smooth on up in there.
Yes,
and when those so-called religious folks got to saying, well, Jesus, how can you go amongst them?
How can you not?
He said, I came for the sick.
Glory to God.
This is the people I came here for. What you talking about?
Yes.
So we have to be willing to build genuine relationships and friendships with people. And just give them the gift of our presence, not the gift of our presence with a twist, not the gift of our presence with strings attached. Just be a friend.
Yes.
Be that kind of friend that even if they never seem like they're moving toward Jesus, You won't give up on them and stop being their friend. You know, I'm not going to call no name, but there is a particular face that is almost, you know, when I think of them when I said that, because they're real good about meeting people, and it's almost like they're grooming people. Oh, they're ready to help you do anything until you tell them you're not going to convert to what they believe. And then they drop you like a hot potato. Don't be that kind of friend. You know, love them enough to love them till they get there. So Paul and Barnabas used Holy Spirit-empowered words. They spent some time. And then God gave them another tool, which I love, love, love. He gave them the power of miracles. Saints, we can't be walking around underestimating the power of miracles today. The Lord confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews. Some was over there with the apostles. You know. And then there was a plot afoot among the Jews and the Gentiles, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But you see, God protects his own, and they found out about it, and they fled, and went on to Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news.
Yeah.
And in Lystra, they said, and then they said there was a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul, and as he was speaking, and Paul stood directly, looked directly at him and saw that he had the faith to be healed. Did you hear what I just said? He had the faith to be healed.
Yeah.
And he called out, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk.
Yeah.
See, thanks to God, one of the reasons that we underestimate the power of miracles today is some of us, we don't really want to believe that we're worthy of miracles today. Some of us, when the Lord has given us a miracle, done brought the miracle drug, waved it in front of us, we looking around talking about, is that for me? Is that for me? See, when this man heard Paul say, stand on your feet, he knew that miracle was from him. He didn't look around to see if somebody else was going to stand up instead of him. He got out.
Amen.
One of the ways of overcoming obstacles to the gospel is trusting in the miracle for yourself. Now, I'm using two different settings for this point, because after spending some considerable time in Iconium, the opponents of the apostles decided they were going to try to rock their world. See, Paul and Barnabas were forced to move on to Lystra, where we see a specific example. So we need to understand that from these passages, we see that God uses miracles, the supernatural and supernatural events, hallelujah, to emphasize the truth of the message being given.
Yeah.
In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas were facing contradictions to their message. So they spent a lot of time there. They did not run away. They did not, they did not say, oh, my goodness, we, what shall we do? Oh, they're on to us. They're talking about killing us. Maybe we should go. They said, what you said? Let me tell you something about my God. My God, hallelujah, is able. And I know that what we speak with, and he said, Paul and Barnabas was like, we believe in Jesus and all that he taught. And we're not backing down, and we're not compromising, and we're not, we really don't care. In short, what they were saying is, for Jesus we live, and for Jesus we're prepared to die, okay?
Yes.
So they stayed there because God showed up and began to make a difference in the lives of the people, just like he's doing today.
Yeah.
God is still working miracles.
Yes,
sometimes he does it to ease our pain and suffering. Sometimes he does it just because he's sovereign and he's God and he can. And
yeah,
it is his good pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? God doesn't have to have a reason to do what he does. He's God.
Yeah.
See, here at Spirit Alive, we value relationship. And we seek to promote a relational style of evangelism. See, it's really important to me here at Spirit Alive that all gifts and talents are recognized, that all servant leaders are enabled to walk in their gifts and their talents, that everyone understands whether you're called bishop, apostle, teacher, pastor, it matters, Christian, it matters not. We all are valuable and important to God. And when we are in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, we have all been given a purpose, apostles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that purpose is to go out and make disciples of others. That purpose is to go out and tell people about the good news of Jesus.
Amen.
And then the last point I want to bring out for us is we can never underestimate the power of humility.
Right.
Boy, it's hard for people to act a fool with you when you're humble. Said the word of God says in verse 11, when the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they shouted in their language. The guys have come down in us in human form. But you know what, look, Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But the word of God says, but when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, men, why are you doing this?
We too are only men,
human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things and start living for the living God who made the heaven and the earth, who made the seas and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Oh, y'all can do your own thing. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with the plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing it. You know what? What I love is Paul and Barnabas' humility. Because basically, in essence, what they said is, what? Offering sacrifice, the devil is alive. Oh, you nothing to twist. Nothing going on up in here. The Holy Spirit that's in movement and in play up in here is God's Holy Spirit. Now, I've never had anyone try to worship me or even try to make a sacrifice to me. But, you know, people have been very kind and very gracious. Amen. And you know, they are very encouraging. But see, you better know, like I know, pride is a dangerous thing. And it has resulted in the fall of many great men. Pride can ruin us. Think about King Saul in the Old Testament. When he started out as king, he was humble and actually thought himself inadequate to lead a nation. They couldn't find him and found him hiding in the luggage. Later in 1 Samuel 15, 17 through 18, Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission to obey him. See, right about then, pride caused Saul to disobey God and start doing things his own way. And as a result, he lost his opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God. See, that's what happens when we want to do things our own way. That's what happens when we start people pleasing, and I want to be seen as better than, and I want to be seen as more than. No.
Mm-mm.
Paul and Barnabas did everything they could to point to the glory and the majesty and the honor and the power of God.
Amen.
They refused to allow themselves to be placed on a pedestal and receive any praise that God alone, anything that God alone deserves. Not worship, glory, not honor. Humility pleases God, because the Bible says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
Due season, yes.
Jesus told his disciples that those who serve would be greatest in his kingdom. But if he gets to learn about greatness, he might not see the kingdom. See, all we need, what we need to stop doing is wondering how we're being perceived. Hallelujah. And worry about being received into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You see, if we understand that we have overcome, then we know that we are overcomers only by the grace of God, only by the love of God. Hallelujah. Only by the mercy of God, only by the salvation of God are we overcome.
Yes. Yes.
And when we begin to truly trust God, then we will go out and say, hallelujah, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We'll be look, I know me. I remember when I was first called. Lord, say to God, you can laugh, because I was laughing at myself. Honey, I was talking to the dogs, people, trees, anything. I was wanting to tell them about Jesus. I wanted to tell them about Jesus. I wanted them to experience Jesus. And I didn't care if people looked at me crazy. All people used to go to my mother. Well, Sister Mitchell, it don't take all that. Well, go tell her that. Go tell her and God that.
Yes. Don't talk to
you me. Know, she loves sharing Jesus. Leave my daughter, leave my kid. Go tell her. Because, you see, Mama already knew they wasn't going to come tell me nothing, okay? But, you know, when we realize that we are overcomers, not because of in and on of our own right, but because of what God has done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No matter when it gets hard, we're not going to give up. When it gets rough, we're not going to give up. We're going to double down, just like Paul and Barnabas. We're going to take a little bit more time. We'll talk slower than if we have to. We'll love on them harder. Hallelujah. But we're not giving up, because we know that this is what we have been called to do. We have been called to be conquerors for the kingdom of God. And, honey, when we keep ourselves humble before the throne of grace, no matter what it is that we might need to do, all we have to do is say, Lord, help me. Help me to finish well. Help me to speak well. Help me to serve well. Help me to live well. Hallelujah. I know I can't do it on my own. I know I can't make it by myself.
Yeah.
But I want my light to shine so bright that people will know, although imperfect I am, I love me some you, God. And I'm going to do my best to live the way you have instructed me to live. And Lord, I expect miracles every day. I'm looking for them. I expect it. I can see them everywhere I look.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to understand, we need to be humble enough to receive God's help, and we have hope put our hope and all our trust in him through the power of the spoken word, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, our words just won't cut it, but God's words will. We need God's help so that we might receive power and make be witnesses and make disciples. We need God's help, hallelujah, if we want to see power, the power of miracles that confirm the truth of who Jesus is.
Amen.
We need that, saints of God.
Yes.
And we need to know that we no longer have to walk around singing, we shall overcome. But if we are a child of the Most High God, what we need to be saying is we have overcome. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Now, at this time, if you have not, in a few moments, maybe you need a miracle today. Maybe you need to enter into a relationship with the Most High God through faith in his son Jesus. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give my sister, hallelujah, one of my sisters, an opportunity to just come on in, and she will lead you in that process. In the meantime, I would like for Pastor Vanessa Carver to come in and to bind this message in the name of Jesus. Pastor Vanessa.
Oh, yes. Father God, we just thank you today for this message. We thank you, Father God, today for sealing it in the name of Jesus. And the vessel that poured out, I thank you for Apostle Cook preaching and teaching at the same time and imparting to a great wisdom from your word. Fill her up, Father God, today with any energy or anything that was taken. I thank you for replacement. I thank you, Lord, for miracles, signs, and wonders in her life over this ministry. I thank you, Lord, today that the word that we've heard today, we have that you gave us, and that we gain understanding, great understanding to be able to apply it, so that in any area, Father God, where we are lacking faith in what we heard today, or where we didn't trust what we heard today, I thank you, Lord, today that our understanding be fruitful, that the inner man be enlightened tonight. Today, Lord, as we begin to remember the things that were said over us and the spirit in which it was given to us. I thank you, Lord, today that our ears and our eyes be opened. I thank you, Lord, today that the wisdom that we have, Father God, every day, we'll be able to see and understand your word clearer. I thank you, Lord, today for this lesson. I thank you, Lord, today for all the things, Father God, that you will continue to say after this message has been closed and through the rest of the week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to check in. I have my dear sister in here. And Minister Gladys, how you feeling, precious?
I'm well, precious.
All right. Well, can you lead the saints? Can you lead the people in the plan of salvation, honey?
Yes. Giving God all the glory. We heard the message. We know that God. We was told that God died on the cross and raised on that third day for our sin, so that we may be free. And if you believe that in your heart, that Jesus took on all these things of the world that was meant to harm us, but he took it on himself and died on the cross for our sins, for our iniquities, and he rose on the third day. If you believe that in your heart, then you are saved. And it's just that simple. Just having a belief that God was here and he did all these miracles. And he sacrificed his life for us so that we can live and have life more abundantly. can teach, lead, and guide you in the right way to learn the fruits of the Spirit, to live and to pass this word on to someone else. That's what it's all about, is to get it and to pass it. We can't keep what we have if we don't give some away.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And to help your brother or your sister fix their crown without any murmuring or complaints or gossiping about their situation.
Amen.
You can do it. God is
good. You can
do it. God is good. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for, to spread his love.
Yes.
To spread his love. And to know that he is God and God alone. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will open up your minds and your heart to receive God. To receive God. And just say the simple prayer, God, I am a sinner. I have fell short. I need you in my life to guide me, to hold me up, and the most importantly, to have that faith that he will, because he can. In Jesus' name, I thank that you have prayed the prayer, this prayer of salvation, and have the belief that God is God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we just want to be one of the first to welcome you to the family of God, like our dear sister prayed. We pray that you will find a Christ-centered, loving a body of believers where that you can grow and you can flourish. Also, we pray that you study to show yourselves approved, so that you don't have to take the word of just anybody. You are important to the kingdom of God, and God will speak directly to you. He, the Holy Spirit, will tell you exactly what God wants you to hear and what he wants you to do. So we're just so grateful for all the new converts today. And right now I'm going to ask that Bishop Lester Carver come into the room, because it has been laid on my heart to send out a heartfelt call to our brothers in Christ. So, Bishop, come in and let the Lord use you at this time.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. And I am going to really speak to all of the men of God who are listening to this message today and the service, to let you know that God has his eye on you and his concern for you is real. God does not want you to be bound by pride. God does not want you to be bound by fear. God wants you to make yourself available for him by humbling yourself to him and allowing him to be your Heavenly Father by you submitting to the authority of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that you can walk in the fullness of your authority as the head of your household. And you can play your role in protecting and guiding and directing and instructing the people that God has assigned to you to be their covering. I want to encourage you to walk confidently in what God has given you to do without trying to compete with others, without trying to compare yourself to someone else, without trying to rehearse pain from the past that you will never be able to change. But God is giving you a clear path forward to be able to make a way forward, not just for yourself, but for all those that God has assigned to you. The thing I want to share with you today specifically is that Moses could have made it from Egypt to the Promised Land in 11 days by himself. But because God asked him to take millions of people with him from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land, it took him 40 years to turn this multitude of ex-slaves into a nation. And he accepted that assignment, and he fulfilled that assignment. And it was not easy, but God was with him in what he did. Just as God is with you, it would be so easy for any one of us as men to make it to success on our own. But because God has assigned us to be the covering for others, to be the one who guide and protect and direct others to freedom, we have to begin to accept that calling. We have to begin to go past our own needs and comfort and begin to learn how to lean on God, sacrifice when possible or when required, and then humble ourselves whenever necessary so that we're able to receive the fullness of God's blessings and be able to walk in the fullness of God's unlimited power of his Holy Spirit within us so that we can truly take our place without allowing ourselves to be diminished or belittled by what we would say that we are as men, because the world didn't design this, God designed it. And when we walk into the God's design, we can be who God designed us to be and stop playing around with this devil, because the devil is the father of lies. He's going to convince you. He's tried to convince you to believe the lie that you're not enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. But when God says you're good, when God says you're worthy, when God says that he's giving you all that you need, you have to walk into the promises that God's placed in his word and know that God has called you to be more than a conqueror in every situation. And that promise to you is the promise that allows you to confidently meet any challenge and cover the people that you're responsible for in an unselfish way without allowing yourself to have to bow down to other men, because you bow down to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who bows down to his Heavenly Father, God Almighty. I want to encourage you right now. I'm going to enter in the prayer right now for you specifically, because God has a blessing for you that you're going to have to walk into, and you're going to have to believe what God is saying in his word or be afraid. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for you allowing us to stand in your presence and to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to bow down and submit to your son, Jesus Christ, so that we can stand boldly in the face of our enemies, which are those who are your enemies, who would dare to oppose your purposes in our life. And we can confidently stand in that place, knowing that you've already given us the victory. God, give us the strength to love ourselves the way that we need to, so that we can truly love those that we are responsible for by sacrificing ourselves when required to be able to move forward into the victory, so that all those that we're responsible for come with us as we go from one level to the next level in faith, confidence, and trust in you, so that we can win souls for the kingdom by doing all things differently and accepting the things that you've given us, knowing that you would not place more on us than we can bear, but you've given us the fullness of the unlimited power of your Holy Spirit within us so that we can confidently expect for you to fight our battles in a way that gives us good success, not just success, but good success, so that the things that you do not own us, but we own those things and we use them for the furtherance of your kingdom, God.
Yes.
For this right now, and you getting all the glory in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Now, if there's anyone that's actually sitting in the sanctuary this morning and you would like to have a word of praise or just let us know that, you know, you enjoyed just praising the Lord with us, if you press your 1 on your keypad on your phone, that will let me know that you would like to have a word, and I will bring you into the sanctuary, hallelujah, because we always want to hear from you. We have wonderful servant leaders here, but our mission, our goal is to have people from all over the world begin to participate. We have people that listen all over the world, but we want to just hear, we actually want to hear people participate from all over the world. But if there be nothing else, our minds are clear. I'd like to invite all of you to continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, we are coming together as a family once again, and we're going to stand in prayer. The prayer meetings have been such a tremendous blessing to the people of God. I have received your inboxes. And so tomorrow night, the servant leaders of Spirit Alive will be coming together with other servant leaders, hopefully, and we will be lifting up prayers, petitions, supplications, and we will also be teaching to help us all to understand why it is so important to pray the way that we pray. Also, on Tuesday, please, please, please join Bishop Lester Carver for Tuesday night teaching. On Wednesday, we have a very special part two of Daughters of Naomi, and we will be discussing Stop the Violence. We'll be looking at when women are abusers and teen violence, which is very important. On Thursday, we will have our very own Pastor Vanessa Carver come with Wounded No More, and she has really been blessing us with her teachings on healing through forgiveness. So, and on Saturday, you can join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. So we just pray we have something for everyone here practically every day of the week, and some weeks every day of the week. We pray that you will walk with us, study with us, participate with us, grow with us, and we want you to have a beautiful and blessed week. Acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Until we meet again, let the Church of God say, amen.
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 Love you.
Well, from my household to your household, church is dismissed. And we love the family. I love you. You did a beautiful job today. Hallelujah. And just going out there and keep on saving people all week like you've been doing. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you all. Love you. I love you all.